This is Bob Parvin, and I'm interviewing Ms. Sarah Albritton, 204 South George Street, Farmville. Ms. Albritton is currently serving as the mayor of Farmville. Today is the 23rd day of February, 1979. Ms. Sarah, in looking at the questions that we'll be dealing with today, the first area of interest seems to be something about your family background. Tell me something about your family. Were you born here in Farmville, or were you born somewhere else and moved to Farmville? Is your family a family that goes a long way back in Farmville history? Tell me a little bit about that.
I was born and bred in Farmville. Family goes back, fourth generation to be born here. Farmville was incorporated in 1872. My great grandfather was here at the time. And my grandfather lived here. My mother was born here. And I was fourth generation since Farmville was here.
Okay, now let's see, you were, you come from the Lang family here in Farmville, is that right?
My mother was a Lang, my daddy was a Humphrey, he was from Dozenbar.
And so I'm sure there are a number of other people in the community now who are related to you in one way or another.
Yeah, that's true. In a small town like Thorne, we have to be careful anyway.
Oh, yeah.
What you say about anybody else, because it could be somebody to skin to them.
Sure. How many were there in your family?
Two. I had a brother. He was 2 years older than me. Moved to Florida. He died 8 years ago.
Okay, in terms of your family life when you were growing up, what was life like in your home?
Oh, my mother was handicapped. She didn't hear. She had meningitis when she was three, and she never did hear after that. My father died in 1920. After that, my grandmother more or less raised me. Mama was more like a sister, grandma was like a mother.
What did your father do?
He was in the insurance and real estate business.
A few minutes ago, we were talking before we turned the tape on about your school life, and I believe you have a school anniversary coming up. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what school was like when you were in school, and what school you were in?
I was in the Farmville School. It was the first through the 11th grades. We had only 11 grades in. We were all in the same building. There were 13 in my graduating class. Graduated in 1929. There were two boys, 11 girls. So we could have our 50th reunion this year. It was so different from today. Everybody knew everybody else in school. See that, but I'm 13 in a graduating class. The school was, and the church were the two places of our social activity. Everything that we did, we either went back to school to do it, or either we came to church. We played in the basement of this church, or the sanctuary of the main church. At dirt streets, I remember. Remember when the streets were paved in Farmville? We had stoves in the schoolrooms. And we were punished by having to take the ashes out or bring the coal in to heat the rooms. It's entirely different. It was entirely different the way it is today.
What was the length of your school year then? Graduating from the 11th grade in 1929, so you were in school then?
9 months then, but before that, I don't remember what years it was, whether it was 25 or 26. We were on an 8-month schedule. And when they built the building was just in demolished, I know we went on a short term that year, because the big, the building was moved to the back, and this was built at the location of the old school.
Well, by the time you graduated, they'd gone to a 9-month school year.
Yes.
Regular thing. What sort of subjects did you have then that might be different from the ones that are taught today?
I don't believe they teach Latin now. They did then. And we had to have four courses a year. It was usually math, English, history, and a foreign language. And the foreign language was Latin, and I believe in my junior year in high school, French was taught. Miss A.D. Moore, Miss Boatwright, and she was our Latin teacher.
Do you remember some others of your teachers that time?
Yes, Miss Fanny Moy was math teacher. And then Mr. Peel came and taught math and coached basketball. Kathleen Turnage was our history teacher, and Miss Russell, she was in, Miss J.B. Jones was the English teacher. I do know that you didn't criticize your teachers when you at home, because you were punished. If you were punished in school, you were punished again when you got home. You didn't. Your parents believed the teachers, not you.
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of discipline and punishment in the schools and at home, what was discipline like? What was the usual form of punishment if you did something that you weren't supposed to?
Well, it depends on what you did. I don't remember many girls being spanked, but I do know the boys had to go to the principal's office and they had a paddle. And we had to stay in after school. We had to write 100 or 200 or 300 times I should not do whatever it was that we had done that was wrong. We played basketball. Ms. Moore also was our girls' basketball coach, and we played in the yard. We didn't have a gymnasium, and we had any big games, and it's one of the warehouses. We did play outside, dirt court.
In terms of your home life again, what were things like in the home in terms of household conveniences? How did the work get done?
Well, the house that I was born in and lived in after Daddy died, we didn't have water, electricity involved at that time. We had a pump in the back porch and a pump in the kitchen. And we had outside toilets. I know your dog had a reservoir on the stove, and that's where you got your hot water. You didn't bathe every night. You could bathe certain times. And you would, a lot of times, would be in the kitchen, in the tub. Kitchen, and later on, the water was we had water in the barn.
I know you mentioned bringing coal in for the stoves at school. Were most of the homes heated by coal or wood?
Mostly wood, I would think, but since the school did have coal, but most of the homes, ours was wood. So we had to bring, my brother and I had to fill up the wood box every afternoon for the kitchen.
What would you say the population of Farmville was when you went to high school?
It's 1,000, maybe, when I graduated, maybe 2,000, 1,500.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but it was.
As a child growing up, did you have an allowance or did you have part-time jobs? Where'd you get your spending money? Or did you have any?
Well, a lot of times you didn't have any. I don't remember ever having an allowance. You'd, get money for certain things, but we were paid sometimes for the work we did around the house. And then later, when we were a little older, every summer, all the girls and boys put in tobacco, but you didn't have to go very far out because where I worked in tobacco was down where Dr. Jones lived, because that was home. Big cotton, where the Catholic Church is. There was a cotton field there, and after school we'd go big cotton. I never was very good at it, never could get enough to sit down on. I wanted to get my bag big enough to make a soft seat, but never did. But it was farming right in what is now farming, on Pine Street, where Tyson's Grill is, all that's farming.
So the farmland was right up. Mm-hmm. To the back doors of the houses.
Yes.
I assume that At that time, the vast majority of people in Farmville were engaged directly in farming?
Yes, or either in the retail business.
Mm-hmm. So there wasn't really any industry at that time?
No, the sometime in the 20s, the first industry that I remember being here was, don't even remember the man's name, but he, Stocks, was it Mr. Stocks, had a bean harvester. I mean, he invented and then made those. Then Mr. Norris, I think, made wagons, but it didn't take much labor to.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about everyday life in terms of the younger people? Recreation, you mentioned ball games and that sort of thing, but in terms of recreation, mode of dress and that sort of thing.
I suppose the highlight of all the young people when they had hay rides, and they were sponsored, like, mostly by the churches. We would go to different homes, make candy, pop popcorn. There was no center for the young people. I mean, we didn't have movies except on Saturday. We read more then because there was no television or even no radios in the early part of my life, but I remember the first radio I ever heard. And so that was the Presbyterian Church had a trip around the world. That was a big occasion. They sold tickets. Different homes were different countries. I remember the Smith home was Japan. They had the Japanese lounge out in the front. And that's where it was, that house is where the funeral home is now. And the highlight of that particular night, we went up to Mr. Hottie's apartment. He lived above Rose's dime store. Mr. Hottie and his family had come to Farmville with their carnival. He was an electrician. We just got electricity in Farmville, and he had a radio, and he had the earphones, and we went up to hear, everybody could hear the radio, and of course KDKA, I believe, in Pittsburgh was the station, and most of it was static, but that was a wonderful thing to think that you were hearing something that came that far away. That was something early 20s, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that the school was small, when the graduating class had 13 in it. Where was the school located at that
time? Same, the site down the town, Holmes family building, brick building.
What type of building was it?
It was a wooden building, and then there was another building that the third, fourth, and fifth grades were in a separate building. And it was a wooden structure that was moved over on the south side. Back of where HB served is now. The building, the brick building, the vine building we had was 1924. I think I was in the fifth grade.
Well, when you graduated from school, what did you do then?
I went away to school then, and most of my class did. I don't know that all of them did, but went to secondary school, and that was like going to another country. It was far away. You didn't get to come home on the train and stay until Christmas.
What school did you go to in Western State?
Secondary.
And when you completed your work there, what did you do?
I didn't complete my work there. Oh. The Depression came, and I only went there 1 year. And then my grandmother died, and I felt like Mama, she didn't need me. So I went to East Carolina.
Okay. When were you married?
I was married in 1931.
What do you remember about your courtship? What was dating like back then in the late 20s?
Well, you dated in the house because not everybody, they didn't have cars. And stayed at home. Occasionally you would go to a movie on Saturday. You used to date with people. I mean, you had another couple got together. They came in. Not many of the boys had automobiles then. They didn't walk the parents. They didn't run.
So you didn't run over to Greenville to have a date?
No, you didn't. You surely didn't.
Well, with not too many of the people having automobiles at that time, was your transportation mostly by horse and buggy or walking or what?
Well, in town, locally, you walked. I either rode your bicycle. We didn't have a car. Mama didn't drive. And my uncles had automobiles, and it was something. They had to go out of town for something. Maybe the doctor had the tonsils taken out or something like that. They would drive. And you took the train to Wilson, Greenville, or Raleigh.
You mentioned the streets were dirt back then. Do you remember when they were paved?
I'm not really sure. It was before 27 that the Mountain Highway was paved, about 27, I think. Part of the streets, but Main Street in Farmville was paved, I guess, about 1918. I'm not really sure, but that was one of the, of course, the first one. Then I think Church Street and some of the other streets. But for a long time, the road from Farmville to Wilson wasn't paved all the way because if we could go to Wilson, we just couldn't wait to hit the paved road because that was something finer. And that was probably on the side of Saratoga that they And then in the, by the early 30s, all the roads, the main road highways were paved. They were narrow now.
I have heard people here in Farmville speak of the old plank road. Was that road planked then, or was it?
It was. That was planked, I think, back in 1854. But I don't really remember too much about that plank road. It came down by Marlboro, though, Magnus Crossroad.
I know you've been a member of First Christian Church here in Farmville for many years. What do you remember from your childhood and young adulthood about the church? What was church activity like? You mentioned it as a social center along with the schools.
Well, when the doors open, you just, I don't know whether church was more interesting then, or maybe it's because you had to go or you had to way else to go. I don't know, but whenever the church doors opened, most often numbers of young people too, the families came. We had a Christian devil. Miss George Woodman was our leader. We met down at the basement of the church. And
so that was called Christian Endeavor.
Christian Endeavor, then instead of the CYF. And remember once we had a state meeting, and Sima Flanagan and I went to High Point to a state convention of Christian Endeavor, which was a highlight. I don't remember how we got there. Church, it was longer services. I remember we had a Mr. Gordon here back in the 20s, and as a minister. And he was the first minister we ever had to show movies. And the young people just thought it was fine. Some of the older people in the congregation thought he was just being lazy and didn't want to get up his sermon, so he showed movies on Sunday night instead of having a sermon. Mr. Gordon, they left him in Washington. They used to have a lot of tent shows that came in here, Chautauqua, and usually that tent was that Miss Crumpler's business is now. And then down on the corner of the same station was a Mabel Mason stock company, Ollie Hamilton stock company. They'd be here all week, have a different play every night. Couldn't wait for them to come. They always came to the ball because it was money. Yeah, then people were still dependent on the back market.
What was the Chautauqua?
Well, there were lectures, some of this music. In fact, Mr. Gordon, the minister I was talking about, was here then. He married one of the ladies that was in the Chautauqua. It was a form of entertainment, but it was a little higher class than the stock companies. They just had the tearjerker shows each night.
So they would come around on a circuit and present their either shows or lectures or whatever it might be. I see. What do you remember in your younger days of the politics here in Farmville? How was the town governed?
It was governed by the mayor and commissioners. And Farmville was incorporated, I think, only three commissioners then. I don't know when it changed to five. There was no administrator at all, so actually it was governed entirely by the bills that paid by the commissioners of the town.
Well,
no, I was just trying to think. I remember the first mayor I ever remember that I actually remember was Mr. Rob Belcher. That was here for, served one term right after another. After that, I think John Lewis. John was in the 30s, but back in the 20s, I think, and maybe even as far back as 1918, was Mr. Rob Belcher. John Pollard was the town treasurer, and his office was Mr. W.A. Pollard had his father had a store in the building that Roland Lang is in now, Lang Store, before 1918, and he was the town treasurer, and also he paid you, got electrician with that, and you like this. We didn't have a town office as we do now.
How was mail delivery handled then?
You went to the post office. We didn't have, I think we had home delivery until maybe in the 30s. But everybody went to the post office. But then again, that was sort of a social event too. Everybody went to the post office. The mail came in and they were busy. Drugstores were open. Women would go in and see the drugstore. Sunday afternoon, you always went to the station. Because the train came in, and everybody was leaving and going away to school, and all they got on Sunday afternoon, so you could see the people going to work and closing.
No, in a lot of small towns back then, Saturday was a big day. People out in the country would come to town on Saturday. Was that true here in Farmville?
Yes, it was. And even after automobiles, people would go and just park downtown to see people. You know, Saturday night, because the store was open Saturday night, or 10 o'clock, I'm sure. Might have been 11. That was people
did
come to the shopping.
A lot of visiting and socializing and then as well as shopping. I know that, of course, now you're serving as the mayor of Farmville, and I would imagine that when you graduated from school back in 1929 that there wouldn't have been any prediction that you would wind up later on serving as mayor of the town of Farmville. Would that have been even thought of at that time?
I'm sure it would know. Dream, but something like that. Of course, I always felt that my grandmother, of course, she never ran for an office, but I felt like she ran Farmville. As a child, she lived right on the main street, and she'd see somebody throwing trash in the street or something like that, and she'd just go pick it up. We didn't do that in Farmville. And so I felt that even though she wasn't an official mayor, that she actually did run the town, and maybe that's why I felt like it was all right for me to try to, too. It's been interesting to think back and to wonder what gave me the nerve to even try for any elective office, because it was so foreign to me. The way I was reared, of women just didn't do those things.
What do you remember then about the roles of men and women? Many women today are working outside the home. Back in that time, were there many women who were employed in paying jobs outside the home?
Very few, unless they were spinsters. They maybe were milliners, or maybe clerking, like a dry goods store or something like that. But I don't remember any married women working outside the home. Even the teachers weren't married. And then when they married, I don't even know whether it was in that contract that when they married, they didn't teach anymore.
That brings a question to mind. I know in many places back then, with most teachers being single, a community would have a home, a teacherage, where the teachers would live. Did Farmville have a teacherage?
No, they didn't have a teacherage. There were certain people that rented their rooms to them. The same people over and over again. But the teachers that all came to Ball all found husbands. So that's why they like to come. Because we, in those days, I don't remember ever having or ever hearing them having in trouble getting considered a good teacher. But it was a good field to come in here because it is a lots of our families involved today, the wives came to Ball as teachers.
I've heard some people speak of the hotel that used to be in Farmville. What do you remember about that?
There were two. First, there was a Horton Hotel, which was around back the hat store, a wooden building up there. And then later, Mr. Davis built the Brick Hotel, which was across on Church Street, across by the Methodist Church, next to where the library is. That was a fine hotel, a nice dining room. People had even apartments there. Mr. Gifford one time had an apartment in the Davis Hotel. The Horton Hotel, I don't really remember too much about it. I know that they had a school there at one time, and then later this Keel had a dining room, served meals, and drummers, I believe they called them, and traveling men that came and stayed there.
Well, of course, you've mentioned that when you were in school, the population of Farmville was probably somewhere around 1,000 or 1,500 people. Farmville is larger than that now. What do you recall as some of the major changes in Farmville from the time that you were growing up to the present time?
Well, A.C. Monk, I guess of course, it was a small operation when he first came to Farmville, but when he brought it out and represented, had representatives in other countries and all, that grew, that brought a lot of people to Farmville. That's what I would say our first large industry, that Imperial Tobacco Company had a big plant here that was built in the 20s, and people came here to operate the plant. But also employed with the local people, but not people came in. They were the first two. After that, I'm not sure whether maybe the largest plant, of course, that we had to come to Marlowe, Scotland, and they came, but that's in the 60s. It was a farming community entirely up to tobacco related influence. Universal Tobacco Company, a large plant here too that burned down. Brought right here. So I suppose that tobacco market is what I'm doing as it did. It comes from the town.
I understand that after the Depression, that the municipal swimming pool was constructed through the
WPA
Work Progress Administration. Do you remember other things that might have been done during that period of time through the WPA or the CCC? Or?
Only that it employed a lot of young people, but a lot of that was done out in the woods. I don't know just what they did out there. I don't know that anything that was done in the town, with exceptions for the WPA funds, but it could have been ditching and things like that, but I'm just running away of. But that was fine. I think we got
it. Was that did that become a popular form of recreation for
the
town?
It did. Mm-hmm. It did. When I was first married, children were little.
I imagine it would have been very unusual for a town of Farmville size to have a swimming pool at that time.
I feel sure it was.
Well, do you recall some things that we might not have touched on that you would like to share with us about Farmville and your experience here? Well, I thank you, and I believe that we have covered a good number of things, and I've enjoyed talking with you about this, and I'm sure that others will enjoy hearing some of your recollections on the few years past. Okay.